Welcome into an episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. This week we are moving along and talking about the Bengals' upcoming road trip to the New Orleans Saints. A ton of storylines with this one. Most notably, it'll be Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase's first time back at the Superdome, where they, of course, won the national championship together at LSU. They had very great memories there. We talked to both of them yesterday. Jamar Chase is from Louisiana, so it's a big time homecoming game from him, plus also a couple of key players on the Bengals defense came from the Saints. Von Bell was a free agent after playing and starting his career with the Saints. So is Trey Hendrickson. So a lot of ties in this matchup. But before we start talking about those type of storylines, Jason, what do you think the Bengals need to do to win on the road and get this thing back to 3-3?
Well, I think they need to not make silly play calls when they get down in the red zone and do simple things, line up, run the ball, and, stop the whole pitch sweep stuff and or the toss sweeps and the reverses and the shovel passes and, keep it. You've got great players. You've got great players, great skill players. Don't try to get too cute. And I know that's been beaten into the ground all week, but I think that is one of the keys to the game. Improve the play calling. The other thing is continue to see if Joe Mixon can run the ball. I mean, we saw some positive things there from him against the Ravens, and to win, especially the way they're winning or losing these grinded out close games, you have to be able to run the ball. You have to be able to run the ball on the road in a tough environment. The Caesars Superdome is loud and crazy, and you have to be able to turn around and hand the ball off and know that he's going to be effective. And so I think those are two really key, just off the top of my head, those are two really key things that the Bengals need to do. I said it in my predictions column today. I think, the defense keep doing what it's doing. I feel like the defense is sort of, the Saints lead the NFL in turnovers and giveaways. And, I feel like this is sort of set up for the Bengals defense to maybe get some turnovers, create some short fields, and maybe that'll boost the offense's confidence.
I think
sort of feels that way.
I think this is a really important game because there's a very big difference between being 2-3 and 2-4. And at this point last year, the Bengals were 3-2. And they rarely ever went on more than a two-game. They never went on more than a two-game losing skid. It's time for the Bengals offense to put a whole game together and get it together in terms of that we can't be hearing the excuses of, well, they played the Tampa 2 and the Cover 2 and it took us a while to adjust. Like, you're five games into this. You know what the defenses are going to do to try and take Jamar Chase away. This is now on Burrow and Zach Taylor to figure this thing out, because there's nothing that the two of them haven't seen at this point that's going to really flabbergast them and them not know how to beat it. It's about your best beating your best. How much do we talk about, oh, the Bengals have such good skill players and they should be just this explosive offense, and they just haven't. And if this is another clunker of a 17-point game where they don't look like they have any rhythm on offense, the criticism will be well-deserved, and it won't just be on Zach Taylor. It'll be on Joe Burrow, because they've got far too many weapons. They took care of the biggest Achilles heel. The pass protection has been so much better the last 2 weeks, so we can't even point to that as the reason why this offense isn't doing what it needs to do. And it might look different. It might look like Burrow's got to complete 13 of 16 checkdowns for them to win, but they've got to get it going, and they've got to start scoring more points, and you expect more from this offense. And I think it was like Aaron Rodgers who said it yesterday that, you wouldn't want high expectations to be any other way. Like, when you're a competitor like Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor and you took the team to the Super Bowl, like, expectations come with it. And the expectations are high of the Bengals, and rightfully so, and they've drastically underachieved.
Well, and you touched on it there. The other thing, and I think a lot of people don't want to say it, and fans probably a little hesitant, and I know some fans aren't, but Joe Burrow absolutely has to be better. He's been very mediocre really so far this year. And I know a lot of people tiptoe around that, fan wise, even me. Like, I was thinking about this on my drive into the studio today, thinking about what to talk about and sort of running about this through this team. You think about, oh, they gotta run the ball better, they gotta, stop with the silly play calling, and it's like, oh yeah, and Joe Burrow has to play better.
Yep.
And can we stay on that for a second? Because I got a question for you on that. Why do you think he is struggling? Do you think this is, and I know what he says, but do you think we go back to the appendectomy? And I had a reader ask me this, in sort of not being in training camp for half the time there. Do you think that is still affecting him? Just not that injury alone or whatever, the surgery, but just the fact that he was set back by that.
I think the issue with Joe Burrow is he started his NFL career hitting on big plays. And I think it's taking him a longer time to figure out now that basically opposing defensive coordinators, when they get in their office on Tuesday in game plan, they put number one on their board and they say, we're not going to let this guy beat us over the top of the field. So the safeties drop deep and they're betting on the Bengals to beat them down the field, the short intermediate passes, which should be into Burrow's favor because he's typically a very accurate quarterback. But what I think is, because they're taking away the big plays, sometimes I feel like he gets stuck on his first read being constantly always down the field. By the time the check down gets open, he's either getting sacked or it's no longer open anymore. And we praise Joe Burrow all the time for his vision and his pre-snap intelligence. And I think it's taken him a little bit to realize what he was doing last year isn't how he's going to beat teams this year. And they're also making him play under center more because the Bengals can't run the ball. Like, this is all a big circle. So the Bengals can't run the ball, which affects Joe Burrow's ability to throw the ball deep because the way teams are playing them, when a defense can predict that the Bengals aren't going to beat you by throwing intermediate short passes and they can't run the ball, they're just going to sit in this defense and they're going to win games because the Bengals haven't proven that they can run it down your throat or that Burrow can hit his 12-yard passes over the middle to Tyler Boyd, to Mixon, to Hayden Hurst. That is why this whole thing is connected and why I've kept saying they've got to learn how to run the ball, because if they don't start running it better and Burrow doesn't start, he said it. Remember that one press conference, like every game takes a different type of Joe Burrow. Like, if he doesn't start, he's almost got to transition into like Tom Brady. Like, how often do you see Tom Brady bombs away the ball? Like, you don't really see it that much from him.
Right.
And so this is kind of the next progression of Burrow's career, learning how to run the offense from under center with play action, where he turns his back to the offense and the defense, and he's got to trust that his receivers and his offensive linemen are going to do their job so he can do his job. So I think this is a very big learning year for him, and I think it's just taken him – that's why I think it hasn't worked in the first half with him. I think it takes him a little bit longer than he admits to understand what the defense is giving him, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense.
They better start running the ball better.
The bottom line is, in Kelsey, if we've said it once, we've said it a million times already through 5 weeks, going into week 6 here. It's
run
just,
the
it's
dang great. Ball. Have you ever seen The Blind Side?
Oh, yeah. Run the dang ball. Right.
When Sandra Bullock's in the stands and she calls the coach and she's like, run the dang ball. Literally one of my all-time favorite movies.
Is that what you're saying now? Run the dang ball?
Yeah. And like, glimpse into me as a parent. If I have a child that plays football, I'm going to 100% be the mom that's in the stands, like, calling the coach. You need to do something about this play calling.
Hey.
I'm just kidding.
She would have been going nuts in that red zone series, or inside the 5-yard line series against Baltimore last week.
Oof. What did you, what was just like your initial reaction to the shovel pass and the not Philly, but want to be Philly special?
Silly. I was just like, my initial reaction was to, jump over and see what Twitter was saying. Cause I love when there's a game. Following a live, even like if there's like some live event, a game or even like a political, like a Trump rally or something like that, like following that stuff on Twitter, yeah. It's just, you have the TV on or whatever. And then you also have Twitter up and, that was, just like, what are you doing? I think too was like, Mixon is running the ball effectively in this.
Yeah, it was his best game, 78 yards.
And like, why aren't you just lining up and giving him the ball and trying to push him into the end zone? You only need 2 yards. Right. And I'm like, it's like, what is that Philly special double reverse thing like from the 2-yard line? Who runs that? Like, who does that?
Well, it sounds 2-yard
line. Like, what?
It sounds like Zach Taylor was asked about it, and he didn't really get into details. But I like to ask those type of questions to Brian Callahan because he'll actually answer and be, pretty transparent. I asked about the trick play and then the shovel pass in particular. And it sounded like they viewed it as Marcus Peters just made a really good play on the trick play. Like TB needed to get the ball out of his hands, and they viewed that as Marcus Peters just didn't take the bait and stayed in this position. So it sounds like they were okay with that one, but the one I think that they wish they could have back was the shovel pass to Stanley Morgan. And I'm just reading between the lines, but Brian basically was like, we did not execute that well.
Hard to execute a shovel pass when everything is all bunched up together.
Right, and he said we got way too much penetration for a shovel pass to work.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, everyone's bunched up, ready for you to try to line up and plow in on the goal line. Like, the shovel pass is more when things are spread out a little bit and you got some room, and then, you find a crease and you go. Like, that doesn't happen on the goal line.
Yeah,
like, what are you guys doing?
Because the red zone, the field, like, shrinks so much already,
Yeah. That's like football 101. Like, people are listening to this thing like, yeah, obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the fact that we're still talking about it on Thursday talks about that. I mean, I think it shows how controversial that stuff was. But let's move on to the Saints. This is a good Saints team. I know that they didn't start off the season well, but if you remember, you and I were going back and forth on this game and our predictions, and obviously Jameis Winston is hurt, so it's probably going to be an Andy Dalton special, which I'm sure Bengals fans will be excited to watch Andy Dalton. I don't know. Maybe not. But the Saints defense is really good. They have a really good front. Cam Jordan is a monster. They've got really good corners. Marshawn Lattimore. And they've got great receivers. Chris Olave. The rookie from Ohio State, looks like Michael Thomas is going to be back this week. So not necessarily a game that I think is, you know, a cakewalk where it was like, gosh, if the Bengals don't beat the Jets, like, what's wrong with that? You know what I mean? I think like this is going to be on the road. Like, you'll learn a lot about the Bengals if they can go to one of the loudest places in the NFL, beat a good defense, and put up like 30 points, you know?
Exactly. I don't really know what to make of this Saints team. You broke it down pretty well there. You know, they won their first game, they lost the next three, then they won last week against the Seahawks, 39-32. They turned the ball over a lot. They turn it over less now that Jameis Winston isn't the quarterback, but they still turn it over a lot. You know, this Taysom Hill is, that's an, you know, he's the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. And, you know, accounted for four touchdowns last week. And it's like, okay, well, the cat's out of the bag now. Like, you know, I don't know. Is that a one-hit kind of wonder type of thing? You know, certainly he's not going to score four touchdowns or account for – I don't think he is against this Bengals defense. But, you know, when he jumps in the quarterback position, it's like, oh, okay, everybody knows what's happening here. He's going to run the ball. And, you know, the Seahawks couldn't stop him. He rushed 12 yards.
The thing I will say is I've watched Taysom Hill play a lot because when I was covering the Falcons, they played the Saints every year twice. And what you're saying about Taysom Hill, though, about running the ball, is Taysom can actually throw it really well. So when he does get the ball, that's what makes him such a tricky matchup, because he can throw the ball and run it. So it's really hard to just digest what you're going to get from him, and you have to have a plan for Taysom Hill. And Lou Anarumo talked about him. You have to have a plan for him and Alvin Kamara, who's a super talented player in the league. But I'm sure our next guest has probably broken down the Saints a lot more than both of us this year. So, Charlie, what do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, I think the number one thing with stopping the Saints offense comes down to Alvin Kamara. The Saints are kind of in a weird state of transition because of the injuries that they've had among their skill position player groups. They've kind of had to take on a different identity every season, every week this season. So that's led them to the spot they are now, where the run game, Kamara's ability to make guys miss, his ability to drive the pocket or to drive the pile forward are the skills they're relying on. And that's the number one thing the Bengals will have to stop.
What do you, when it comes to, you know, we talked about the Bengals offense getting going, but what do you see on that Saints defense that leads you to believe that the Bengals offense could get going, or maybe it couldn't?
Well, that's a question as well because of injuries. You know, the two guys who you could say could, what's the word I'm looking for, you know, make the Bengals struggle in the areas they've been struggling in this season, succeeding against cover two, those two guys are star cornerback Marshon Lattimore and star safety Marcus May. Those are the guys that can, you know, Lattimore can win one-on-one matchups against any receiver, May can take away the top of the field, but both those guys are dealing with injuries. So I don't know if the Saint or who the Saints' key skilled players are going to be when they try to establish that two safety shell. That's a question as well. But you do expect the Saints to play the Bengals that way, because that's how everyone's playing the Bengals right now.
You just talked a lot about that. Jason, you have any other questions for Charlie about this matchup specifically?
No, I'm good, unless Charlie has anything else on his notepad there that he wants to add.
Yeah, you have anything else, Charlie?
No notepad today.
No notepad.
Thanks, Charlie.
See ya. All right, Jason, so I am going to stick with my pick here. I don't think the Bengals are going to win.
Really?
I picked them to lose this game. I picked them to lose back-to-back games here because I think the Superdome's going to be too hard for them. It's so loud, and I just think offensively they're not they haven't proved to me that they're going to be able to beat the Saints defense, who's the Saints defense is better than the Ravens defense all across the board. So I think the Bengals fall here in to New Orleans. I will say that the only way they don't, if they win, it'll be because Ja'Marr Chase goes absolutely off, which is certainly a possibility. But the Saints are going to dial up a ton of pressure. And the reason that Burrow's had the time that he has is, think about it, Miami and the Ravens don't have like an A1 star pass rusher. The Saints do. Cam Jordan is ridiculous. When I was in Atlanta for 6 years, he had more, no player had sacked Matt Ryan more than Cam Jordan. Like he's a freak. And I, like I said, the reason them not being able to run it or being able to hit on those explosives, that really factors into pass pro. And I just don't think that the Bengals will have enough to beat these guys. But with that being said, I did pick them to lose these two games and then go on like a mini 3-game run here where they'll beat the Falcons, they'll beat the Browns on Monday Night Football, and then they beat the Panthers. And then I believe after that is Steelers, which I think I also had them winning. So I don't think they win this one, but I do think they go on a little run after this.
I think they win this one. I think they flip the script, and after three losses of losing on last second field goals, I think the defense gets a key turnover or two that puts that they either score off of or that puts them in a short field, and that's going to be the difference in the game. And I picked it in my column today, Cincinnati.com. Bengals win 20-17.
Is 20 going to be enough for you to start believing in this offense?
I guess it depends on, how they, if there's more of the long lulls and the long, and just the silly play calling. No. But if it's a steady, grind it out kind of game, then they show some things that, I really feel like, and I'm hung up on this, but we've seen too much of it already. Like just the head scratching play calls, and it's like, I'm like, stop doing that. Like just stop doing that, and get back to like trying to focus on what made this offense really good, and it's not like gimmicky plays.
What I think would be funny if, and it will never happen because you and I will be working every Bengals game, but like say for example the Bengals don't make the playoffs or make the playoffs and then lose and there's an NFL game, like how much fun would it be to watch the game together and for us to get that commentary that you just gave, like just stop doing that, would you?
Right. Just run the ball.
Run the dang ball back. I'll be shouting that from the press box in the Superdome, which, by the way, is like, I might as well be able to like touch the top of the dome because that's how high up it is. And it's also an ice box. And they also have terrible food. So, yeah.
Well, there is your breakdown of Sunday's game. The full breakdown.
Yep. So I will be looking like a marshmallow in the press box with my popper on. I'll be packing my lunch and probably watching, I hope, a good game. But who the heck knows anymore, right?
Exactly.
But we are here for the ride. We're here to support you, Bengals fans. We hear you. We see you. We sometimes think the same thing. So.
Yes. No doubt.
All right. Well, be sure to check out Jason's predictions for the weekend. No Bearcats this weekend. So all about the Bengals this weekend, right?
Yep. That's right.
So be sure to check it out on Cincinnati.com. I've got a story coming later on the homecoming for Burrow and Chase playing at the Superdome. And that's kind of the origin of the when Burrow became the cigar smoking meme that he is. So talked to both of them yesterday and put something together on them. And then just a couple key injuries to keep an eye on. And I'll be at practice today and tomorrow. So make sure you follow me on Twitter at Kelsey L. Conway for the updates. But T. Higgins did not practice yesterday, dealing with an ankle sprain. Lyle Collins didn't practice yesterday, but that's to be expected. Jonah Williams, also a big injury to pay attention to, dislocated his kneecap against the Ravens, but did not practice yesterday. But when we talked to Jonah, he says he thinks that he is going to be, well, he's going to try and do everything he can to play. But that's important injury because of what I explained to you about the Saints pass rush, that if Jonah is not in there and they have to play a Hakeem Adeniji starting at tackle, that's a big time loss to Bengals offensive line. So,
yeah.
Good stuff. We, as always, will be breaking the game down on Monday for you. But in the meantime, follow us on social media, check back at Cincinnati.com, and we'll have all the coverage you need heading into Sunday's exciting game against the New Orleans Saints. Thanks for listening.